This is the Sue Free Show, talking about life, relationships, and achieving. Unashamed and unafraid, because I believe you mean it when you say, I am strong, beautiful, I am good enough. I belong after all, because of what you've done. This is real, what I feel, no one made it up. I am loved. Here's your host, Sue Free.
Thank you so much for joining the Sue Free Show today, and I am so excited again to be with you. And I'm going to start out today. This morning I woke up at 4 a.m., which is not unusual for Sue Free. She does that quite often. She takes care of social media from 4 to 6 in the morning, and then she gets on with her day. But this morning I found a response. I always ask you as a listener to connect with me because it's all about connection. And I always ask for connection, and I received this Sue Free's contact from a lady. Let me get it back up here on the phone here. And I want to read it to you because you know how we just need to be encouraged once in a while. And, you know, we pray and just ask the Lord to just guide us and to help us with decisions. I have some major decisions going on, and I woke up this morning and, you know, I just asked the Lord, you know, what do you want me to do in this? And, you know, am I doing what you want me to do, Lord? I just need confirmation that I'm doing what you want me to do. And here's what I received. Your radio show became object lesson used by Jesus to teach my son and I about anger. It's amazing that any ordinary scene from life has the possibility to become his crafted life lesson. One day in April or May of this year, my son and I were in the kitchen. It was time for your radio program. I was listening and my son was reading the magazine. In parentheses, she wrote, even though he won't admit that he was listening. You started the program with a normal greeting and about what prompted the topic for today's program. The next thing I hear coming out of you is a scripture quoting God's view on how anger and vengeance is to be dealt with. I was angry as a mama bear at my ex-husband and wanted to blank, 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 but I couldn't because I'm a Christian now. Plus, I told my son, 34 years old, that God, Jesus, and the Holy Spirit had my back 24/7. I couldn't be childish, devious, and inappropriate anymore, nor could I turn my anger into depression. After all, I have him, in capital letters, now, and he, capital letters, lived inside me. So it's time for me, Patricia, to move over and let him, in capital letters, take over. It's day-by-day thing, but it gets easier. I want him to shine through me. That was the first one. And then she wrote another one. And what a blessing, Patricia, you've been to me. So thank you so much for that. So today I have a guest with me, and I'm always excited when I have a guest. And this lady is wonderful. I know her because we both co-authored in a book series called The Change. And she's also an author and written other books, which we will get into that. And to give you a little bio of this woman, her name is Anita Brooks. She motivates others to dynamic breakthroughs, blending mind, heart, body, and spirit as an inspirational business life coach, international speaker, and common trauma expert. She shares hope and encouragement on the stage and from the page. I like that. Reminding audiences it's never too late for a fresh start with fresh faith. Anita is also a multi-published award-winning author, and she'll get into that, I'm sure. And for pure pleasure, just so you get a little bit of the personal side of Anita, her favorite pastime is watching sunsets. I love sunsets. With her husband of 33 years, while they laugh and dip their toes in a Missouri river or lake, she adores her grandchildren, but she also wants to hear about those you love. So Anita, thank you so much for joining the Sue Free Show today.
Thank you so much, Sue. It's a pleasure to be here.
I'm so glad that you were able to take time out of your busy schedule. You were giving me a little bit of a rundown, a summary of what's going on in your life. And boy, you've got a lot going on, but you're still taking some time away. And why don't you tell the listeners right now your main goal for today? Because, you know, I tell the listeners all the time that we have to be goal-oriented, that we were created for a specific purpose, and we need to live out that purpose. And if we are intentional in what we do with every minute, we get a lot more done in a day, don't we?
We do. And I am in complete agreement with what you just said. you know, if I look back over some of the events that have happened in my life recently, it could paralyze me if I allowed it. But by setting goals and by reminding myself that God created me on purpose, with purpose, to fulfill a purpose, that is what spurs me to action. And it gives me not only the strength, but the energy to put one foot in front of the other until I'm able to walk through some really dark valleys. So if there's one thing that I want your listeners to maybe come away from our conversation with, it's just to remind them that no matter what has happened, it's never too late for a fresh start with fresh faith. And I can tell you, I am living proof of that reality.
You know, Anita, so am I. And, you know, the trials and tribulations that we go through, I say, is preparing us for the next assignment. Would you agree with that?
I would absolutely agree with that. You know, my greatest purpose has come from the pain. It originated in that, but also it's become the greatest sense of satisfaction that I've had, being able to come alongside other people and not just say to them, oh, I know how you feel, and maybe give them some kind of a pat answer or something, but to really just embrace them and mourn with those who mourn and have that heart of compassion that I think only comes from real life experience.
Absolutely. I totally agree with what you're saying right now. We are kindred spirits here. That is for sure. So in your book, and I love the title here because there are many listening, I know, and for me too, getting through what you can't get over. You talk about your experience with depression and how a miraculous meeting with a former prisoner of war changed your life. Can you briefly describe that story?
I can. This has been several years ago now, and actually some of your listeners may identify with this. I was going through a period in life where I just kept getting hit from all sides. You know, it's like you barely feel like you're able to get back up on your feet and something else just knocks you back down. And it was so incredibly constant that I had people say to me, gosh, you know, you're like a female version of Job right now. So I actually refer to that as my Jobette season. And it's just a way that I kind of add a little bit of humor and deal with what I went through. But during that time, I was in such a dark place. I had never been clinically depressed before. And I'm a little embarrassed to admit, but just confession time, that prior to going through this, I really did have that mentality of other people who had went through depression or serious anxiety that, well, you know, they just need to think more positive thoughts, or they need to pull themselves up by the bootstraps, or I was just full of all those they just need to's. But I didn't know because I hadn't been there. So God allowed me to go down into this deep, dark pit where I tried desperately to get out of it. And it's like every time I would try to scale those walls, I would just slide back down. And yet it was in that pit that one of the greatest miracles of my life ever occurred. I had a friend that had invited me to go to a women's conference, and I was really kind of in a zombie-like state where, you know, I really wasn't thinking very clearly, and so I just agreed. And at the last minute, oddly enough, my friend could not go. And to this day, I cannot explain it except for it had to have been the Holy Spirit just leading me there, but I ended up going to this conference by myself, and it was a couple of hours away. And I went there, and this woman named Dr. Edith Eger, she calls herself Edie, she was the main speaker. Now, she was 73 years old at the time, little 5 foot nothing, and I mean just a little spitfire. And as I listened to her from the stage, you know, I have to admit, I was sitting there and thinking, gosh, you know, my problems, you know, they're bad, but, I mean, I haven't been through anything like what she's experienced. And I felt a little twinge of guilt occasionally, but it still wasn't enough to snap me out of it or anything like that. But here's where the miracle occurred. I can tell you that in that state that I was in, I felt very alone. I felt as if no one really cared about me, especially maybe that God didn't care about me. I wasn't even sure if he was real or if he saw me. But that day, he proved that he absolutely did see me. And so one of the messages I'm able to share with others today is that God sees you and he loves what he sees. And how I proved that to me that day was they had a lunch meet and greet with Edie. And she was 73, as I said, so they had her sitting in a chair and people just lined up, and there were over 300 people that day. And I just kind of, like everyone else, just joined the line. Again, I wasn't thinking really clearly. But you know how when you're in a line like that, you can see ahead what the protocol is and how other people are reacting. And so Edie would just put her hand out, and she would nod her head and, you know, smile and shake their hand, and the next person would come through.
Mm-hmm.
But when I got to Edie, that wasn't what happened. Edie Eager kind of leaned forward, and she just looked at me with her piercing blue eyes. And when I put my hand out to shake it, she slapped the top of my hand. And it startled me.
Of course.
And she goes, "We must meet. God has spoken." She had a really strong Hungarian accent. And I have to tell you, the first thing I did was like look over my shoulder, like, are you talking to me?
Uh-huh.
And she said, "You must come and have breakfast with me in the morning. God has spoken." Now, honestly, I have to tell you, the thoughts going through my head were, I didn't hear God say anything. And this is really strange. But she was so adamant. And so I ended up going back and meeting her the next morning at her hotel to have breakfast. And I'll tell you that breakfast lasted the whole day. I took her to meet her airplane at 4:30 that afternoon.
Wow.
But as we sat there, she began to tell me things that she had not shared from the stage about her experience during the Holocaust. She was a 16-year-old girl when she and her sister and her two parents were loaded onto cattle cars, and they were taken to Auschwitz. And as they waited for hours and stumbled their way toward the head of this long, long line, there was a man sitting in a chair, and he would point left or right. And he pointed her parents one direction, and she and her sister in another. And Edie said she ran after her mother, and she clutched her mother, and she was crying. And the man got up from the chair, and he told her, he said, "Do not cry." He said, "I'm just sending your parents to the showers." Fast forward several hours, she and her sister are in the prison yard, and they're looking, trying to find their parents, and they're beginning to cry because they can't find them. And an old man walks up, a fellow prisoner, and he asks them why they're crying. And when the girls tell him, he points up to the chimney stack, and he says, "There's your mama, there's your papa. The Nazis have killed them." And that's how she found out that her parents had died. But here was the thing that struck me as Edie was telling me this story. I was amazed that even though she had been through atrocities that, frankly, I cannot even imagine, there was a sparkle of joy in her eyes, and there was a lilt of happiness in her voice, and she still had a ready laugh. And it was something that I remember sitting there and thinking, I want some of that. I want to have that. And as Edie continued to talk, she told me about there was one time when the man who had been sitting at the head of the line, who, by the way, turned out to be Joseph Mengele, the one that they refer to as the Angel of Death, because he was responsible for so many murders. He had found out that she had been an aspiring ballerina. So he called Edie to come dance. So she was forced to dance for the man who murdered her parents.
Oh, my goodness.
Yes. But at the end, he handed her a warm loaf of bread. And she said to me, she said, "You have to understand," she said, "this was not the moldy, dried crust that we normally had gotten. This was a fresh loaf of bread." And as I was going back to the dormitory that I shared with about, I think she said it was like six other women, she said, I was clutching it and I was trying to measure out, if I hid it, how long could I make it last and where could I put it so no one would find it and steal it from me? And she said, "I remember just before I got to the dormitory, I thought to myself, I cannot let them steal the last vestige of my humanity from me." And so she decided to share that loaf of bread with her fellow prisoners. That act saved her life, because later on, when she and many others were forced into the death march, and if you were to have fallen, they would just shoot you in the head and keep going. Edie was so malnutrition, she was beginning to stumble, and she was having difficulty staying on her feet. One of the women that she shared that loaf of bread with dared to ask a soldier if they could carry her, and he said yes. And they ended up carrying her for short periods of time. They were weak as well, but they would carry her for a little bit, and they would put her down where she could walk for a bit, and they would do this off and on, and it ended up saving Edie's life. The day that I sat with Edie, and she shared this story with me, she asked me, she said, "Now tell me, what is this pain that is etched in your eyes, and why has God told us to meet today?" And so I shared my story with her. I was telling her the different things that I had been through. And then Edie shared something with me that changed my life. She asked me, she said, "You are familiar with the 23rd Psalm, are you not?" And I said, "Yes." And she said, "I want you to take note." She said, "Right now, you probably feel as if you are walking through the valley of the shadow of death because of the circumstances around you." And I started weeping, and I said, "That's exactly how I feel." And she said, "I want you to note that God does not tell us to slow down. He does not tell us to stop. He does not tell us to pitch a tent. And he does not tell us to build a house in the valley of the shadow of death. He tells us to walk. And when you feel as if you do not have the strength or the energy to take one more step, you walk anyway. You remember me. You remember God loves you. You remember he sent you here today, and you step."
That is
that
would change your life. And it's so amazing that you brought up that, because before I came in here, Bob Hastings, who is responsible for the Sue Free Show, he's the one that said, "God told me you should have a radio show." And I thought he was nuts at the time. You know, I really did. I'm like, what am I going to talk about? And what he said is exactly, "Though shall I walk through the valley of the shadow of death." And what he said, which he was just told this by someone else, is that you can't have a shadow in the valley or anywhere. You can't have a shadow without the light.
That's exactly right.
In the valley, he is there. And
yes.
And Bob Hastings was saying that. He was saying that has stuck with me all week, because, you know, sometimes we feel in that valley that we're all alone, and you felt all alone, isolated, all alone, like nobody can understand. And I know I felt this way too. And sometimes you feel so isolated that, "God, can you hear me? God, are you there?"
Mm-hmm.
And even the valley of shadow of death, you can't have a shadow unless there is light. And who's light but Jesus? And so, what an amazing story. Oh my gosh, we could end right now. That is just a wonderful, terrible, but wonderful story.
Well, it is. And you know, that was the beginning where God began to plant a seed in my mind, where he taught me the principle that you cannot experience a miracle without first having a problem.
Yes.
And now it has altered the way that I look at my problems. I have problems today. You know, I am on the heels of having lost someone that I loved very much to a brain tumor.
Mm-hmm.
Actually, he had three brain tumors, and I was his main caregiver during his illness. And I'm heartbroken. But even through that, I continue to see God provide purpose from that pain. When you're in the pain, you think, you know, I don't want any part of any purpose. If this is what it takes, I don't want it. But I can tell you, just as Edie encouraged me, if you keep putting one foot in front of the other, one thing that's going to happen, eventually you're going to step out of the valley of the shadow of death, where you see the full light of Christ shining on you. And usually that comes in a purpose where you're able to help other people.
Absolutely. You're listening to the Sue Free Show on our flagship station, KKLA 99.5. And my guest today is Anita. And listen, if you want to connect with me, I would love to hear from you. And how would you do that? You would go to Sue Free, spelt like fries, one word, .com. Go there, connect with me. Let me know what's going on with your life. If you need prayer, if you need resources, you know, anything that you need, or if you just want to express anything to me, please go there and do that. And Anita, we're going to keep going here. And, you know, PTSD. I did two radio shows on it, and they're in my podcast on the SueFreeze.com site. If you go there, you can go to the podcast. And there is a gentleman there that served our country, and he talked about it, and he's a dancing friend of mine. And looking at him, you wouldn't think there was a problem in the world, but then he opened up and expressed this. You said PTSD in the everyday person is a main focus in your book. You tell true stories of everything from marital infidelity to financial crisis, abuse, betrayal, chronic illness, debilitating injury. Boy, I've had so many of these things. Homelessness and death. Common traumas that blindside many people. Can you describe post-trauma stress and tell our listeners why it's important for us to be aware of it?
Sure. One of the best descriptors for PTSD that I've ever found is it's an ordinary response to extraordinary stress. So these are things that we don't ordinarily go through in our day, but those are the things that, as I say in the title of my book, you know, you may be able to get through it, but you're not going to get over it. If you lose a child, you're never going to get through or get over the loss of your child. With Christ, you can get through it, but it's not something you're ever going to forget, nor should you. If you've lost your home, look in the recent years how many people have lost their homes. And unfortunately, I think that we sometimes take that too lightly, but that has a traumatic effect on people, just as it did back for those who came through the Great Depression. You know, there are emotional imprints that are left on those folks. So it is absolutely an ordinary response, though, when you do have PTSD. And I think many people need to hear that, because what we do is we exacerbate how much pain we have, because on top of that pain, we pile guilt on it, when instead it's just a natural human reaction. And another thing that I like to make sure that people are aware of with PTSD, and especially because I deal with common traumas, I have worked with some military, but that's not my main focus. It really is the everyday person. But with PTSD, many struggle with rage and anger. That is a common symptom of it. But when you understand that fear is at the root of our anger, when you're able to begin to peel away those layers and deal with that root issue of fear, and you discover the why behind your what, that's when real healing can begin.
That is so good. And so many people that have these struggles, they know other people are going through it, and everybody deals with things on their own time frame. And we can't put pressure on ourselves to get through something. We just need to work through it at our own pace and not feel guilty and not feel bad. We will be back with more of the Sue Freeze Show right after this brief break. Hi, Sue Freeze, the Termite Lady here. It's been my privilege to serve my community for 32 years as owner of Ecola Termite and Pest Control. Family is one of the most important things in my life, so you can imagine my panic when my little boy Tyson stopped breathing for the first time when he was 2 years old. It was the most terrifying thing I'd ever experienced. In an instant, Tyson had become a statistic, 1 in 8 children in California who suffers from life-threatening asthma. Those of you who listen to my radio show understand that I'm not a victim. I'm a mover, I'm a doer, and I'm a believer. And so I did what I had to do. I set out to find out why Tyson was suffering those horrific asthma attacks, and the journey was powerful and illuminating. I learned so much about how asthma attacks can be prevented, how you can make your home a healthier, happier environment, and how you can emerge from challenging situations like this even stronger and more powerful than you ever could imagine. I've shared my family's story in my new book, Learning to Breathe, available now on my website, www.suefreeze.com. If you or someone you love suffers from asthma, this is a book you must read. Please order your copy today. And for more information about effective alternatives to traditional pest control, please call us at Ecola 800-332-2847. We'd love to help you take care of your home and your family too. Learning to Breathe, available now at SueFreeze.com.
Hi, this is Sue Freeze, the Termite Lady from Ecola Termite and Pest Control.
And I'm Tyson Freeze, Sue's son, and also work at Ecola. I understand why Ecola is Southern California's number one alternative pest control company. As a child with asthma, My mother made it her number one priority to protect me from harmful chemicals and contaminants.
I wrote a book about it called Learning to Breathe, about a love without bounds and a fight I refuse to lose.
I'll always be thankful for my mom's love and strength during this struggle, which essentially saved my life. I'm proud knowing my mother, Andy Cola, cares for our customers like my mom cared for me.
We are offering $100 off any termite work and $50 off pest control for new customers. Just call 877-332-BUGS for details. That's 877-332-BUGS.
Or online at termitelady.com. E. Cola, powerful termite and pest control.
As gentle as a butterfly.
Love you, Mom.
E. Cola Termite and Pest Control. 877-332-BUGS.
You're listening to The Sue Free Show.
Thank you so much, E. Cola Termite and Pest Management Services, for sponsoring this show. And, you know, if you want to get the book, Learning to Breathe, it's about asthma. It's also about a life journey of a mother just fighting for her son and helping with making life easier to breathe and easier to live with all the things that come at us. Okay, so we're going to go right into another question for you, Anita.
Okay.
You know, the book, I love the title, In Getting Through What You Can't Get Over. You remind us that no one wants to feel bad. We don't want to live in misery. I know we don't want to live in misery. You say we'd rather experience happiness than receive negative attention. Why is this truth important for a hurting person to hear?
I think because so many who are hurting are treated exactly as if they're just doing it for attention. And when we're treated as if our hurts don't matter, that's a very destructive thing to the human soul. But what I love is the hope that we have through Jesus Christ and through the Bible that is so powerful. So many times if we are hearing those negative voices that are, you know, telling us that we're bad because we're hurting, which unfortunately sometimes even if the person doesn't word it that way, that's the message that is projected onto us or that we intake. So what I like to do to combat that is to actually focus on what God has to say. Because one thing that I have found with him is he does not try to make us feel guilty because we hurt. He actually is just full of compassion. And his word is through and through full of those hopeful messages. You know, one of my favorites is Joel 2:25. It says, God will restore the years the locusts have eaten. And that is something that when you are hurting and it feels as if things are never going to get better, it's always going to be this way. Just knowing you have something to cling to, that promise that says not only is it going to get better, but there's a restoration that God promises when we lean on him. That's a huge message for a hurting person to hear. And another thing I like to remind hurting people of is that, you know, our messy lives actually qualify us as message bearers to Christ's redeeming and restorative love. And that's something that we can pass on to other people.
So, so true. You know, you talk about well-meaning people who say things like, just pull yourself up by the bootstraps, like you had mentioned earlier, think happy thoughts, or just need to get over it and move on. But you believe these statements, as I do, actually make things worse for a hurting person. I know that I've had this myself where people have said things like this, and I'm like, wow, very, very unfeeling, in my opinion. But sometimes people just really don't know what to say. They mean well, and they want to do a helpful thing, but sometimes people just don't know what to say or how to respond to a wounded soul. What would you suggest?
Well, you know, so many times, you're exactly right. The reason people say those things is because they just don't know what else to say. But again, the Bible provides just so many rich examples for us. Proverbs 25:20 is a scripture that I quote in Getting Through What You Can't Get Over. And I think it's just powerful. And it says, in the New Living Translation, it says, singing cheerful songs to a person with a heavy heart is like taking someone's coat in cold weather or pouring vinegar in a wound. Right. Now, I don't know about you, Sue, but I don't want anybody taking my coat away when it's cold outside, and I sure don't want them pouring vinegar into an open wound and making it sting even more. And I don't think anyone else wants to do that to someone either. But you know, for those who are really struggling and wondering, well, how can I come alongside that person? I think the Romans 12:15 verse is so just good for us to embrace, where it says, rejoice with those who rejoice and weep with those who weep. You know, in the book of Job, I referred earlier to that season in my life that was so hard. And frankly, I'm just coming out of another Jobette season at this time. But when I read the book of Job, there's a lot of comfort in that for me because I can really relate to him. And it's telling for me when you read about his friends that came in. And, you know, if you start reading where his friends are doing all the talking, and I'm sure you've experienced this as well, Sue, I have had people almost say verbatim what Job's friends said to him during his difficult season.
Mm-hmm.
But where his friends got it right was for the first 7 days, they just sat with him. It was the comfort of their presence, not their words. It's not about us having to say to someone else, oh, I know exactly what you're going through. Oh, well, let me tell you what happened to me. Because when we do that, again, we don't mean to, but what we kind of do is say, oh, well, my story is more important than yours, or, oh, I can outdo what you've been through. And pain is not a competition. Pain is something that's unique to each individual. And when we learn to respect and honor that and just, again, be present with them, let them know that we care, that is one of the most powerful and important gifts that we can give to someone who's wounded.
That's what I was going to say also, is that there's been times where just being there, not saying a word, but just being present and, you know, just letting that person, if they want to talk, let them talk. If they don't want to talk and they just don't want to be alone, that's the best thing you can offer, is your presence, just being present. And so that is awesome. One of the points you make in your book is the necessity of walking mm-hmm. through all seven stages of grief you list. What are some of the consequences if one or more of those steps are missed? Now, I know people right now that are trying to rush that process, and I've done I have podcasts on this whole process of the seven stages. And there are specifically seven stages, and everybody does the process at their own pace, in their own time. So what would you say are the consequences?
The consequences are getting stuck in your grief. You know, I know someone right now who is in her 70s, and she is stuck in unresolved grief from decades before. And this is someone that I've known for a very long time, and it just saddens me. It breaks my heart, because for her, she's gotten stuck in the anger stage. And what she tried to do for a very long time was deny that anger, try to avoid it, try to ignore it, and stuff those emotions down. But I tell people all the time, you know, we human beings, we're a lot like volcanoes. You know, a volcano, when there is magma at the core, and if you think about our painful emotions as being magma, when we shove that down into our souls, and then there's a new occurrence that happens, and we shove that down, and then something else happens, and we shove that down, well, all we're doing is piling the new on top of the old. Over time, that magma or those emotions that we're stuffing build up. And if we do not find a way to vent, just like a volcano that has those, if they have those smaller vents where they're able to release steam and get rid of some of those gases, then they're not prone to the big explosions. But if they don't, if there's no venting, that's when there's a massive eruption. Well, we human beings are no different than that. If we do not find appropriate and safe places to vent our emotions, to face what we're feeling, to really deal with that and process that through, all we do is shove that down to the point that eventually the pressure builds and there's no more room for any place to go. And oftentimes what I see happen is we end up exploding at a very odd or inappropriate time or on an inappropriate person. And even we are sometimes blindsided. It catches us by surprise at the power of our emotions that spew out. But that's because we didn't deal with it. And so if we don't make sure we are intentional to process through each of these necessary seven stages of grief, then we potentially get stuck and things like bitterness can take root or hatred can grow or a perpetual sadness that never releases. Those types of things can just hold us prisoner and we can literally, like this woman that I know, lose decades of our life. And unfortunately, we can never get another moment back. So once that happens, you know, it's one of those things where we just can't go back in time. It's so critical, it's so important that we take care of things now while we can do it.
That's such great advice. And, you know, when you know somebody that has passive aggressive or anger, you know the anger's coming from hurt and unresolved maybe issues, and it could be this grievance process. And so on the Sue Free site, there is a podcast called Grieving and Loss, and it's the seven stages, and you can look that up and find out, you know, where you're at if you're going through a loss process so that you can check yourself to see if you've done your due diligence and your homework on that. And it, you know, it's not school, but yet you do need to check off the box and make sure that you've gone through, or if you're feeling this anger, you're feeling this, like, where did that come from? Then maybe this could be it. In the last chapter of Getting Through What You Can't Get Over, you offer, which is wonderful, a 12-step map that you use to help guide you through dark valleys and lead you to a place of hope and God's healing light, a place where you say, pain-filled people may laugh yet again. I love that. Can you share one or two insights with our listeners today?
Yes. One of the steps that I list in that 12-step valley map is to meditate on the Bible, on God's Word. You know, the Bible really is a love letter to us, and there is much compassion, much hope, and even much practical advice that can help us process through and really deal with the emotions and the situations that we have in our lives in a healthy way and in a healing way. Another thing that I would remind your listeners is be careful and don't let your emotions lie to you, making you believe that no one cares and that you're alone, because that's not true. Emotions can be a very positive and good thing, but we do have to be careful to separate our facts from emotions. And just remember that God sees you, and He loves what He sees. Just because you're going through a difficulty or you're having some things hit you that really blindsided you, don't let that cause you to either become overly defensive or to self-hate. Focus on what God says about you. You know, you talked earlier in the program, Sue, about how you and I are both co-authors in the Change book series. And the chapter that I wrote in book four is The Power of a Name Change. And I focused in that the things that God says of us. You know, God calls us courageous. He calls us worthy. He calls us talented. He calls us teachable. You know, He calls us to be empowered. These are things that He desires for us. He does not desire that we would become paralyzed or that we would be in bondage because of the things that happen to us. He wants us to be freed of those things, so that we can laugh yet again, so that we can find purpose. Because as I said before, I absolutely know that I know that there is not a person with breath in their body that was not created on purpose, with purpose, to fulfill a purpose. It's just up to us to figure out what that purpose is.
Amen, sister. Oh, I love it. You're listening to the Sue Free Show on our flagship station, KKLA 99.5. Thank you, San Diegans. Thank you, Venturians. Thank you up and down the coast and all around the world with the internet now. The Sue Free Show goes everywhere, and it's so wonderful. And I have really, really, really loved today. I mean, you've ministered to me, Anita, and I just am so thankful. I always read from this book called Jesus Calling. You know this book, I bet, Anita, don't you? Enjoying
Peace. I
love
this book.
Okay, well, today, this is what it says today, and it's so amazing because I just opened the page, and it just goes right along, like always, with the message, which just says, God is real, God is here, and he's for today and always. Bring me all your feelings, even the ones you wish you didn't have. Fear and anxiety still plague you. Feelings, per se, are not sinful, but they can be temptatious to sin. Blazing missiles of fear fly at you day and night. These attacks from the evil one come at you relentlessly. Use your shield of faith to extinguish those flaming arrows. Affirm your trust in me, regardless of how you feel. If you persist, your feelings will eventually fall in line with your faith. Do not hide from your fear or pretend it isn't there. Anxiety that you hide in the recesses of your heart will give birth to fear, or fear, a monstrous stepchild. Bring your anxieties out into the light of my presence, where we can deal with them together. Concentrate on trusting me, and fearfulness will gradually lose its foothold within you. And then the scripture that goes along is Ephesians 6:16. In addition to all this, take up the shield of faith with which you can extinguish all the flaming arrows of the evil one. Isaiah 12:2. Surely God is my salvation. I will trust and not be afraid. The Lord is my strength and my song. He has become my salvation. And Anita, I hope that you go to the SueFreeze.com site, because the second little tile on there is the new I Ams, which you were talking about, what the Lord says about us as being confident, victorious, child of God, ambassadors of Christ. These things are on there as the I Ams. And if we listen to these, we will be transformed by the renewing of our mind. And that's by having a new tape of what God says we are versus what maybe people have said we are. And so it's really helpful. It will help us, fulfill that purpose that we both believe. And we know for a fact, because it says it in scripture, that he created us for a purpose. So it's exciting. So how can our listeners find you and your books, Anita?
They can go to my website. It's anitabrooks.com. So it's AnitaBrooks.com. And that would be wonderful. And thank you so much, Sue. It has just been wonderful sharing conversation with someone like-minded and someone who's had some of the same experiences of Christ's healing power like I have.
Yes. I'm sure we could exchange stories. And, you know, you as well as I know that we are strengthened by the issues that we face, the experiences that we face. We realize that God's there. He doesn't create, he doesn't make them happen, but he allows things to happen. We don't always know why. We don't know why things happen the way they do, but God has a reason. He has a purpose. And that's a message for all of us, that, you know, we go through these trials and tribulations, and just like there is rain and there's gray clouds and there's storms, and then what next? A rainbow. And sometimes it's so sad that people give up, or they just lose complete hope until that rainbow comes. And so what the message is here is that don't give up, one step at a time. Anita, we have a few minutes left, and I want you to be thinking about your final message of what you'd want to tell people. And in this time, I just want to tell you that when you were talking about one step at a time, reminds me of a story I have of going to the Grand Canyon. And I was a young kid, I think I was 19, dancing every night, so I was really strong in my legs. But I was asked to go to the Grand Canyon. We decided that we were going to hike to the bottom. And we hiked to the bottom. It was very hot. And we decided we were going to go back up same day. Now, that's a lot of hiking. And I can remember in my mind that I was so exhausted and my feet were blistered because I had new shoes, and that was a mistake. And I'm walking up, and all I could tell myself is one more step, one more step. And if ever I learned any lesson about one more step, it was getting out of that Grand Canyon. And when I hit the top, oh my goodness, I just realized it was one step at a time. So yes. How would you want to leave our listeners today, give them encouragement, inspiration, as you already have? What would you like to say to them?
I would say one of the most powerful things that I've learned to do is to meditate on God's word. And even your description, your story right there is so relevant to that. When I'm having any difficulty, whether it's emotionally or mentally putting one foot in front of the other, or physically even, I will speak God's truth to my soul. And this is how I do it. I will use the scripture, "You can do all things through him who strengthens you." But what I do to meditate on it is I focus on each word individually. So for instance, I would start out saying, "I can do all things through him who strengthens me." Then I would next do, "I can do all things through him who strengthens me." When you go through that entire verse and you focus on each word distinctly, it really does transform your thinking. And I can tell you that it gives you the strength to keep putting that one foot in front of the other until you reach that journey's end.
I've never heard that before. I'm going to try that.
It's awesome.
I've never done that before. Wow, that's really good.
You know, it's interesting. I speak all across the country, and I speak in Christian settings, but I also speak in a lot of settings that are not faith-based. But every time that I speak, I will end up having a conversation with at least one person that goes something like this. And it's interesting because I don't initiate these things. They come to me. But the person will say, "You know, I believe in God." And there's usually a but that follows that. "This is the thing that I have learned to ask, because it's something that God first taught me to ask myself." I will say to that person, "You know, that's really wonderful. I'm glad to hear that. But do you mind if I ask you a question?" So far, no one's turned me down. And I will ask this: "Do you believe him?" Because there is a great distinction between whether we believe in God or whether we believe him. The Bible says that faith without acts is a dead faith. If we believe God, we should act like we believe him. If we believe God, then we stand on the promises that he gives us, even when everything looks hopeless. Even when it seems crazy to put our trust in him, we continue to believe him. That's the example that all of the greats in the Bible have given us. And it's the legacy that each one of us can pass on to the coming generations behind us, is to believe God even more than we believe in him. Believe him and show it by what we do.
Anita Brooks, thank you so much for being on the Sue Free Show. I have enjoyed this, beyond enjoyed it. And thank you so much, listeners. Until next week, be a blessing to someone each and every day, and be present if needed. Love you. Bye-bye.
This has been the Sue Free Show, sponsored by Ecola Termite and Pest Control Services. It's a time of the year when bugs multiply like crazy and start looking for a home, your home. Ants, spiders, fleas, earwigs, termites, and a lot of other creepy crawly critters, even rats and other varmints. It's time to call Ecola Termite and Pest Control Services. They offer complete ecological pest control of rodents and insects. Ecola has one-time services, ongoing monthly services, their most popular and economical every other month service, and even quarterly service for occasional pest problems. Ecola keeps rats and mice out and eliminates insects in their nests. It's the most effective way, and their termite control is legendary. So call Ecola today for a free estimate of complete pest control at 877-332-BUGS.
No more creepy crawly critters like ants, spiders, fleas, earwigs, termites, rats, and other pests. Call them at 877-332-BUGS. 877-332-BUGS. Ecola, powerful pest control services as gentle as a butterfly. Ask about their 2-year warranty. Call 877-332-BUGS.